On the Double Down Michigan podcast, we explore topics related to the gaming industry in Michigan. Host Henry Williams, Michigan Gaming Control Board Executive Director, discusses responsible gaming, gaming legislation in our state, current trends, and more. We feature special guests from the gaming industry so you can get the inside scoop. Be sure to subscribe to Double Down Michigan, a podcast by the Michigan Gaming Control Board to stay up to date on the latest in gaming. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Double Down Michigan, a podcast by the Michigan Gaming Control Board. My name is Henry Williams, the Executive Director of the Michigan Gaming Control Board. And today we have with us Aaliyah Lucas, who serves as the Gambling Disorder Program Manager with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And Aaliyah, I'd like to thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So appreciative. I know you're busy.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So just have some questions, Aaliyah. Really just want to give the citizens a larger look into what the Department of Health and Human Services does and what type of services you all provide. So can you share with our listeners a brief history of your background and what services you provide on behalf of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services?
Okay. Initially, I began my time with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services as a program analyst for the Substance Use Disorder and Treatment Services Program, working with the CAs, ensuring efficient service delivery in the different regions of the state in regards to residential treatment, but on the back end of the administrative end as far as paying for services and making sure all of that was facilitated throughout the state. Briefly into my time there, I'll say 2 years into my time here at the state, the availability came open for me to apply for the position with Gambling Disorder Services. I've been in that position now for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been in that position now for 9 years. So as a program specialist, I am responsible for the delivery of gambling disorder prevention and treatment services throughout the state of Michigan. So that includes the helpline that individuals are able to call into in the event they need help finding out about getting assistance for gambling disorder services, in all facets of treatment service delivery. That would be our panel clinicians that provide outpatient services throughout residents in the state of Michigan. We have 3 residential pilot programs that we're providing right now in the state of Michigan. We have 8 prevention coordinators. We have one in seven of the 10 BIHP regions, as well as the Intertribal Council of Michigan. Each region has a prevention coordinator where their focus is bringing education and awareness about gambling disorder to the community and giving a greater understanding of how it impacts not just the community, but children, and why it's important to learn as much as you can about gambling disorder. So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay, great. And just a follow-up on the residential programs, because I think that's something new that's going on.
Okay, so initially the pilot began in 2019, fiscal year 19. And, of course, we were hit with COVID. So we weren't able to actually open the doors and provide services at that time. So with the end of fiscal year 22, that was actually our first year of actual service delivery. Initially, we began with 2 providers. We lost 1 due to COVID, and since that time we've actually gained 2 more. So there are residential services that are provided in the city of Detroit. We decided to use Detroit Wayne region because the majority of the treatment referrals that we acquire are from this region of the state. So we utilize services through Amherst Home, Naomi's Nest, Sobriety's House, and Mariner's Inn. So we have 2 facilities that are for all men, and we have 1 facility that's for all women. And the intent of those services is to provide residential inpatient 30-day treatment, with them receiving all of the necessary group therapy, individual therapy that they're going to need in regards to ingratiating themselves back into the community. What then happens after their 30 days of treatment or residential treatment services, they're then connected with an outpatient clinician. So after your 30 days, you get 12 additional weeks of outpatient service to assist you in sustaining your abstinence from gambling. It's our hopes that while they're in residential treatment, they're being put into contact with peer support specialists. So as they come out and they go into their 12 sessions of treatment, they also have someone as a peer of sorts that can assist them with resources to outpatient meetings, self-support groups, resources they may need as far as food, housing, education, things of that nature. So we try to do a pretty comprehensive approach when we're trying to bring in residential treatment services.
Wow, great. A lot of great services there.
We're trying.
Yes. Aaliyah, could you define for us what constitutes a gambling disorder and how someone might be able to recognize the signs of a gambling problem so they can seek assistance for themselves or a loved one?
So gambling disorder is when your gambling activity has extended beyond recreational activity. So if you're finding that you're spending more time involved in gambling activity than other things that you enjoy in life, that could be an issue of concern. If you're finding that the amount of money that you're using to engage in this gambling activity is increasing, or if you're utilizing funds that are delegated for other purposes for gambling, then that's a concern. If you find that you're having constant thoughts about gambling, and regardless of how you're trying to redirect those thoughts and those actions, you're having difficulty doing so, all of those things are some of the symptoms of potentially having a gambling disorder. So what we do with our helpline, we have information available for individuals that may call in either for themselves or a loved one, and they may be exhibiting just those symptoms. They're spending more money. They're becoming more reclusive. They're gambling more than they do anything else. Even it might be an effect of their mood. If they're not able to engage in gambling activity, it might impact and affect their mood. We help them determine if they're themselves or the person that they're concerned about as a candidate for gambling disorder services by going through a whole assessment survey. It's a NAS assessment that gives us an idea of where you are with your gambling activity. And if you score 5 affirmative answers or more, then we at that point direct you for gambling disorder treatment services if that's something they're interested in.
Wow, great. Thank you. That's great information to have. Gambling isn't new to Michigan, right? Of course. It started with horse racing in 1933, and then over time has expanded to lottery, commercial casinos, and now online gaming. Mm-hmm. How has this change affected your role in terms of what you do?
It's affected my role in regards to we have to expand our reach as far as our target population. When I began in this position, the minimum age for an individual that we're directing or presenting gambling disorder treatment services to will be the age of 21 and over. So with the introduction of online gambling, the introduction of online and sports betting, fantasy sports, a number of things, there is a ever-present concern now that the individual that may engage in gambling activity may be slightly younger than that of someone that's 21 years old. There's national studies that have indicated that there's been a substantial increase in sports betting activity on multiple college campuses, with things such as being a competitive athlete and things of that nature increasing your risk factor in engaging in such activity. So we've had to think out of the box in regards to how do we increase awareness for youth and young adults? How do we get adults to think about, hey, this is a concern for children, for young children and adolescents, because in times past, it hasn't been. So that's one of the things that we've been doing in regards to trying to redirect our focus. Not just that there's a correlation between gaming and gambling that I think is pivotal for the Michigan public to be mindful of. Oftentimes, gaming can be a precursor to gambling activity, and that's something that no one thinks about, especially when you're talking about a younger demographic. If you're talking about youth and young adults, think about how they spend a lot of their time. They're on their phones, they're playing these games, they're playing, well, I don't want to name the games, but they're playing different types of games. And in these games, they progress through the games, and you get to a certain point, and what happens? You have to buy skins, or you have to buy coins, or you have to pay to proceed to the next level. And what that does is it ingrains the whole the pay-for-play concept. And as a child engaging that opportunity, that activity, there's no hazard or any harm. But let's take that same concept and that same interest and transition that to a young adult. And now we're playing games that are based on wagers. And now we have finances to put behind it. And now we're looking at a potential gambling issue that has to be addressed.
Okay. So with that being said, have you seen an increase in requests for assistance from those with gambling problems since the launch of internet gaming and sports betting?
We have had a substantial increase in the number of calls that come through the state helpline. for gambling disorder services, we also have had an increase in the number of treatment referrals in that time frame. What we're doing now is we're trying to collect the data so we can kind of analyze the data and see how much of those treatment referrals and those calls are specifically correlates to online gambling activity. You know, you can call in and have an interest about getting information, but of those individuals that call in, how many of those are referred to treatment as a direct result of online gambling activity? So we're still kind of analyzing data for that, but there has been an increase.
Okay. I know a focus of your work is on prevention efforts to help our young people in middle school and high school and beyond avoid developing a potential gambling habit. How much of an impact are we seeing on this population when it comes to the gambling addiction?
Okay, so again, with the introduction of our gambling disorder prevention coordinators, those coordinators were introduced to assist in expanding awareness and about prevention of gambling disorder and providing education. And with the onset of online gambling and sports betting, it's become even more of a concern or interest of ours to reach the young adults. So what we've done is we've implemented what's called StatDeck. StatDeck is an evidence-based prevention curriculum that's used in a number of states when addressing youth and young adults and gambling disorder. So in 2019, all of our prevention coordinators participating in the completion of that training. So each prevention coordinator that we have that currently works in the state of Michigan has each taken the StatDeck training with the intent of, it was a train-the-trainer session. So the intent is, you'll take that information, you'll go to your respective regions, and you'll disperse that to your community, and you'll designate someone to be the responsible party for making sure that you get that information to the young adults and the youth in your community. It's a 6-week curriculum course, and it provides information about what gambling is, what it looks like, how to avoid it, how do you know if you're engaging too much, and things of that nature to increase the awareness for youth and young adults so they can at least recognize, hey, maybe this is behavior that I'm already engaging in, and they might not even know that it's gambling. So right now we have, of the 7 regions that we have 3 that dedicate a lot of their time and their funding efforts to prevention efforts for youth and young adults with the intent of doing pre and post tests, finding out where the children are in advance of what their understanding of gambling is, following up with the post tests about what they learn and how they feel as though they can use that information. And what happens is in these curriculum courses, in these classes, they have the conversation and it's a realization of, well, I do that now, or they're able to correlate with someone that they know, you know, about about gambling disorder, what it looks like, with the hope and the intention of taking a grasp of that and being more mindful of how they engage. We can't say it's going to stop them, right? But the intent is to give them pause and make sure they're thinking about the activities that they're engaging in.
And currently, this isn't a mandated program that's occurring.
It's not mandated. Again, out of the 7 prevention, with the 8 prevention coordinators we have, 3 of them are using their funds in that regards. Now, one of the things that we're looking to do going forward, because we're looking to kind of revamp our approach to gambling disorder in general, given the changes that are taking place, going forward, what we would like to do is have an opportunity to fund all of our prevention coordinators so that they're able to use a portion of their funds specifically for the purpose of implementing StatDeck in providing prevention and awareness. We ultimately want to use tools that will allow them to utilize many grant opportunities in their communities, preferably to middle schools, to elementary schools, to middle school, high schools, and to colleges within their respective regions to target, to provide this information and to try to increase awareness in that regards. So we're trying to push some things now to kind of shift the focus and bring awareness of how important it is. Again, a lot of times the individuals that come in for treatment for gambling disorder, the first thing they say is, I've been gambling since I was a kid. So one of the best ways I would say to prevent gambling disorder is to prevent it in the youth so that it doesn't get to that point. So that's kind of our focus.
Okay. What can we as a society do better to erase the stigma around saying, I have a gambling problem?
The stigma around saying that I have a gambling problem is taking away, stop putting the responsibility of the problem on the individual that has it. If I have diabetes, you wouldn't say it's my fault. If I have high blood pressure, you might not say I did that, right? You'll recognize it as an illness, and you'll assist me in regards to whatever my approach is to mitigating harm as far as that illness. Same thing with gambling. They recently reclassified it from being in a compulsive disorder to an addictive disorder, because compulsion leads one to believe that you have the control, and that lack of self-control is why that you engage in this activity, and that can be taken on as from a negative aspect from an individual that's having gambling disorder. So take away the blame. It's not a blame. It's like any other addictive issue that you have. It's just as prevalent as substance use disorder. And quite honestly, gambling disorder has a higher rate, the highest rate of intentional suicide out of all of any kind of addictive activity, because of the stigma, because of I can't tell, because of by the time I do want to disclose this problem, my life is in shambles, you know. So taking away the blame, making it easier to have the conversation, taking away the not only looking at it from a financial standpoint, because that is but one issue of having a gambling issue or concerns like any other addiction. Most oftentimes they stem from trauma. Most oftentimes you have to get to the core root of what the issue is before you could ever tackle the coping mechanism, which is what gambling is. So having a more realistic approach, idea of what gambling is, and taking the blame out of it, I think would help eliminate the stigma.
Okay. And I know currently the Michigan Gaming Control Board and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Lottery Commission, yes, collaborate as it relates to gambling, yes, and responsible gambling. Yes. You know, we just launched our own Don't Regret the Bet.
It's awesome.
Campaign. Thank you. Thank you. The staff has really worked hard on that.
Isn't that fantastic?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So how can the Michigan Gaming Control Board help complement your efforts in what you're doing to help people play responsibly?
Keep the lines of communication open. I often say that while our audiences are not synonymous, they're closely aligned. And I don't ever want it to be mistaken that the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and what we do for gambling disorder is anti-gambling, because that's not it. Our approach is to assist those that need help or prevent them from getting to a space where they need that help. So I think collectively, what we focus on is how we all can benefit each other, right? I might have somebody that comes through the helpline that might not be ready to go to treatment. They might say, I just want to ban myself from the casinos right now. Let me start there. Well, that's where our partnerships and our relationships come in. You know, what is it that we can all do that can effectively meet and target our audiences collectively and kind of suit both needs? Responsible gaming is essential. Responsible gaming, again, because most people can gamble recreationally and not have a problem. And they can do so even at greater lengths once they know how, which is where the responsible gaming comes in. And if that doesn't work, if we have those that fall susceptible, then that's where gambling disorder assistance comes in. But we try to work together to find out ways of how we can assist, like with our messaging, with our media campaigns. We're looking at things like that. Right now, the Michigan Gaming Control Board has the text-to-chat services that they've been providing for quite some time on the Michigan Lottery site, that I believe that it is. Michigan Lottery. They're able to text and chat if they need help. So what we've done is we've taken back ownership of the text and chat, and we've made it more in-depth and involved. So for those that don't want to pick up a phone and call the helpline, they're able to sit wherever they are and text and chat. These are things that we discuss in our meetings. We're talking about things in regards to when the introduction of online gambling and sports betting first came about. How do we make sure that children or young adults or those under the age of the legal age to engage, how do we make sure that they're not able to circumvent and still get on those sites? Those are the conversations that we're having and we'll talk about. So we're trying to partner and trying to strengthen in a number of areas. So.
Okay, great. Is there a phone number people can call for help with gambling problems?
Absolutely. If you are a loved one that's suffering from gambling disorder, if you want more information about what it is, you'll dial 800-270-7117. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's totally anonymous, no judgment. Please feel free to call if you need help.
Great. And just one final question for you, Aaliyah. If you can give one piece of advice to our Double Down podcast listeners right now, it's a takeaway message that you hope they hear and share with others. What might that be?
Don't be afraid to ask for help for gambling. Don't be embarrassed about needing help for gambling. That's my biggest takeaway.
Thank you so very much. And just want to remind the listeners to reach out to don'tregretthebet.org. There's material there to assist. I want to thank you for taking the time and coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I think more the citizens know that it's not a blame game.
Right.
We're here to help in all ways that we can, and really to give them the tools.
That's right.
They need to be successful if they're going to participate in any form of gambling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so once again, thanks a lot, Aaliyah Lucas, Thank Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And hopefully we'll have you back again soon.
Hopefully.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.